This is John Lash with a challenge to the Crop Circle Wizards. It is August 30th, 2011. In this short audio clip, I will first of all take the longer part to explain what I mean by Crop Circle Wizards. Who are these wizards? And in the second and concluding part of the presentation, I will set out my challenge to the people so designated, or to put it perhaps in more polite terms, my invitation. In just a few days, coming up to the 10th anniversary of the massive destructive event of September 2001, 9/11, and of course, this is the occasion for many of us to reflect back on this event, as well as to consider what we have learned since then and where we have come since that moment, for better or for worse. I would like to focus the retrospective view on one particular feature of the 9/11 events, and that is the feature of the narrative that came with them. Remarkable thing that has been investigated many, many times since that fateful day, is that there was a story that came out immediately with the events. So in addition to the physical act of destruction, there was a narrative act, a narrative provided to explain the destruction. And I would like to show, in the course of this short discourse, that the narrative provided with the destruction of lives and property at 9/11 is equal to, if not exceeding, the destruction at the physical level itself. What narrative was delivered on that day? Well, it consisted of two parts. One was the official government story. 19 Arab hijackers took control of four airplanes, flew two of them into the World Trade Centers, and two went elsewhere. And so the story is that the Muslims are to blame, especially Muslim terrorists. And this is the official government version. And it also includes the explanation of how the buildings, the main two towers, were destroyed. That is, they were weakened by the impact of the airplanes and fires. Office fires eventually caused the buildings to collapse. So, immediately upon the destruction being achieved, the world was presented with a narrative, an explanation of who did that destruction and how it happened. But I would point out to you that on that very day, the first day, there was also a second explanation was leaked. And that explanation was explicitly stated in the words of some news observers and news anchors, such as Dan Rather, in the use of the term controlled demolition. Now, obviously, if it was the airplanes that brought down the towers, then there could not have been a controlled demolition. But if it is proven to be physically impossible that the airplanes hitting the towers could have caused them to collapse, then we move to the second story, the second narrative, which is actually nested in the first narrative and given to us at the same time. And that is the narrative of controlled demolition by some kind of planted explosives. And the favorite candidate, the favorite culprit, is thermite. So I will refer to this as the thermite demolition theory. And the people who propound this theory, I will call the Thermite Gang. The Thermite Gang did not come to prominence until several years after 9/11. But when they did, they simply elaborated the narrative that was planted in the collective mind on the very first day by the suggestion of the words controlled demolition. And as a matter of fact, it does appear that the buildings were destroyed by controlled demolition. Now, I would remind all of you of something that we have learned, those of us who studied history, and who've studied the events surrounding 9/11 and who've worked very hard in the last 10 years to put things together and make some sense out of these events. Those among us who've done this recognize a single and irrefutable fact. And that is the fact that manipulation of events on the global level in history, going back several centuries, in fact, but especially in the 10 years since 9/11, manipulation and orchestration of events in history and of social catastrophic events and terrorist events involves the use of a controlled opposition. And I put it to you that the controlled opposition to the 9/11 truth movement was present from the very first day of the events, and it was stated and implied, that is to say, it was subliminally implanted in the collective mind on that day. The theory of the Thermite Gang, that explosive planted in the building caused them to collapse, is physically just as impossible as the theory of the official cover story, that airplanes impacting the buildings produced office fires which caused them to collapse. Both the official theory and the theory that opposes it, the thermite demolition theory, are physically impossible and inadequate and do not explain the massive destruction, the manner of the destruction, the extent of the destruction, and certainly do not explain the massive physical anomalies and bizarre events that happened on that day in the zone of physical destruction. Now, I'm not making this audio clip in order to provide an elaborate and documented, scientifically founded argument to show that the Thermite Gang are completely wrong and that the faction within the 9/11 truth movement represented by the Thermite Gang is controlled opposition. That's not my point, but it is an important point as I get on the way to my point. So I need to give it just a couple of more minutes of time to make it look at least halfway plausible to those of you who may have not considered this before. As far as I know, the work of Dr. Judy Wood in her book, Where Did the Towers Go?, is the only thorough scientific investigation of all the evidence of what happened at 9/11 that gives a clear and irrefutable explanation of how the destruction was accomplished, of what happened, not of who did it. Her argument, her case, does not touch who did it, but it thoroughly and irrefutably shows what they did, whoever they were. And by inference from the evidence that she provides, which puts the evidence of the thermite demolition theory to shame, we can infer what kind of devices were used to cause the destruction in New York City on that day. I would just point out three or four items in Dr. Wood's argument that irrefutably prove that the controlled opposition theory of controlled demolition by thermite is scientifically unfeasible. First of all, even if thermite were used and it had been massively implanted in the two towers, thermite cannot turn steel and concrete to dust. The buildings were turned to dust. They did not fall at free fall speed, although they were demolished in such a way as to look as if they fell at free fall speed. They did not fall at all. And the proof of that is that there is only 15% or less of the debris of the buildings in the area where it should be. What happened to the other 85%? What happened to the other more than 80 floors of the buildings? There is not debris sufficient to the explanation that the buildings collapsed. They did not collapse. They were turned to dust. And if you go look at the photographs and look at the videos with that explanation in mind, then you might be able to see what Dr. Judy Wood is showing us all, which is exactly what we would see with our open eyes and the common sense endowed in human beings had we not been subjected to a psyops and thrown into another paradigm that blinds us to see the very things that are happening before our eyes. And so the buildings did not fall at free fall speed into their own footprint. Another proof of this is that the Twin Towers stood in a slurry wall or bathtub that was 70 feet deep into the bed of the Hudson River. And if they had fallen, if the debris of the buildings had fallen into that bathtub, it would have ruptured the walls, resulting in the entire flooding of Lower Manhattan and the entire subway system of New York. But the walls were not ruptured. Furthermore, there was hardly any seismic signal equivalent to the falling masses of these buildings, World Trade Tower 1 and 2, on that day. And as far as WTC 7 goes, well, it appears that we saw the building fall as if it were a controlled demolition. But as a matter of fact, what we actually saw was the walls fall. The walls fell. And if you look at photographs of the ruins of WTC 7, you will see that there is nothing there. There is not 47 stories of concrete and office furniture and computers. There is simply the walls and some steel girders laid flat on the ground. And as a matter of fact, going back to the evidence of the seismic signature, the evidence of the seismic signature of WTC 7 was almost non-existent. So how can the weight of 47 stories fall to the ground and not produce a seismic signature? And this is just the beginning. There are at least two dozen clear issues of this kind treated in Dr. Judy Wood's book, Where Did the Towers Go?, which show irrefutably that they could not have been destroyed by thermite or internal explosives. It is absolutely impossible. Thermite cannot do what was done to those buildings. And if you want to see for your own eyes the flagrant proof of that statement, then look at page 202 of her book and at figure 197. Look at WTC 6. Oh, wait a minute. You never heard of WTC 6? It stands right beside WTC 7, which everyone saw collapse while the 20 minutes after the BBC reporter said that it had already collapsed. And there is WTC 6 with three holes bored in it as if they were cut out of it by a massive X-Acto knife. Do any of the people in the thermite gang talk about WTC 6? No. Can the theory of implanted explosives explain how WTC 6 was literally cored out and the internal mass of the building disappeared? No. Now, I'm not going to say any more than that. Let my argument be a challenge to you who are listening to this to look into the investigation of Dr. Wood, which is the only legitimate and thorough scientific investigation that has been made of the destruction on that day, and it puts the thermite gang to shame. And I would point out that none of them have ever refuted Dr. Wood in a thorough and fair manner because they don't know how and because they can't. Okay, so what does all this have to do with my invitation to the Crop Circle Wizards. And who are the Crop Circle Wizards? Well, we're getting there. We're just about halfway there. So I ask your patience to bear with me a little further. Remember that I said that two things were delivered on 9/11. An event of murder, actually a snuff film, in which the lives of 3,000 people were destroyed in front of our eyes. An event of physical destruction, but also a psyops, an event of mental destruction. And I would venture to say that 9/11 was an event considered as a psyops that has caused more mental destruction than any other single event in the whole of human history. It is a psyops directed to common sense, to human reasoning, to logic. It is a psyops intended to absolutely destroy and demolish human sanity and the logical workings of the human mind. And it has, to a certain extent, succeeded wonderfully at that aim. The narrative attached to 9/11 is the psyops that destroys our capacity to see what happened. I don't have anything to say about who did it. I'm not saying that I adopt the theory of the Thermite Gang, which is the pet theory of the 9/11 truth movement, that someone in the U.S. government was responsible, that they used the story of the Arab hijackers and the planes as a cover, but in fact, they used military-grade thermite explosives or thermate to rig up these buildings and destroy them. I absolutely reject that theory. I'm not saying that the United States government or anyone in the United States government pulled off this massive act of terror and destruction. That is what we are led to think by the psyops. The psyops is not just to lead us into the superficial and absurd cover story. It is to lead us through the absurdity of the official cover story to an even greater absurdity. And why is the thermite demolition theory a greater absurdity? Quite simply because thermite could not have brought the buildings down, because the buildings did not come down. Only a very small part of the buildings came down. The vast majority of the mass of the two twin towers of WTC 7 and WTC 6 was demolished into thin air, dustified. What kind of devices can do that? Now, please hold that question in your mind for a moment. I'd like to wrap up my presentation of the part of this challenge that concerns 9/11 and shift to another subject. But before I do that, I just want to point out to those of you who are not familiar with Dr. Judy Wood's work, as represented in her book, Where Did the Towers Go?, and her website, drjudywood.com, is that she has been rigorously excluded from the 9/11 truth movement. And so there is not an open-minded search for truth in the truth movement. Or perhaps it would be fairer to say that the earnest and sincere and passionate quest for truth in the 9/11 truth movement has been successfully perverted by the controlled opposition, which is represented by architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. I also want to point out that Dr. Wood has been unfairly accused of wacko ideas about laser beams from space or some kind of Flash Gordon space weapons that were used to create the destruction of 9/11. As a matter of fact, she has never use this term, it's wrongly attributed to her. And the term that she uses, which is on the title of her subtitle of her book, is directed free energy technology. So I'll make that for short, directed energy technology, DET, or directed energy weapons, DEW. What are DEWs? Directed energy weapons are weapons that use directed free energy technology. And this is nothing to do with space beams or laser beams from space. It has to do with the physics of interference in a static field. When a static field is created electrically, and then an electrical charge or beam is introduced into that static field, it produces an interference phenomenon. And this phenomenon of interference can be uniquely developed into technologies of directed free energy. But these technologies can also be used as weapons. And that is what I believe happened in New York City on 9/11. Now, obviously, there's a problem accepting this theory, but the problem is not such a big problem. After all, I would make this distinction. I would offer this distinction, which may be helpful. It's one thing to say that such DEWs, or directed energy weapons, don't exist. They just don't exist because that kind of physics is impossible. But it's another thing, and I believe more accurate, more consistent with the facts, to say that they do indeed exist, but that their existence is not admitted. Obviously, because these would be the most powerful and destructive weapons in the world, which would make nukes look like spray pistols. And indeed, if you look at the damage that was inflicted in New York City on 9/11, including many of the bizarre and anomalous effects that Dr. Wood considers closely, you will see that there is no admitted weapon, no publicly admitted weapon, that can produce those effects. But there is a long history going back to the 1820s with the British physicist Michael Faraday and coming forward to Tesla and John Keeley and other people. There's a long history of the development of free energy technology, FET. And free energy technology has two possibilities. One is it can be used for benevolent purposes. If that were the case, and if we had free energy technology today to heat our homes, to travel, to run cars, to run all the machines in the modern world, then we would have the opportunity and the chance to have a much fairer world and even to build a certain kind of social utopia. Not only because these free energy devices using free energy technology are beautiful in their own right and non-polluting, but also because they would liberate us from the wars and orchestrations that go on continually on this planet due to a battle for resources, for oil, minerals, and other precious resources which are used in the technology of our time. Free energy devices, were they allowed to be made public and to be manufactured, would revolutionize the world in less than a year and would make obsolete the panics and the struggles and the terror under which we live due to the tyranny of false scarcity and due to the power plays that occur continually in the financial system, not to mention in the political and military systems, the power plays that are conducted around oil and other such perishable resources. So I don't think I have to elaborate the obvious here. Directed energy technology, DET, or free energy technology, FET, would be the most revolutionary scientific advances that our species could possibly attain. And there is ample evidence, as I say, going back almost 200 years to the time of Michael Faraday, that this technology has been discovered, and not just once, but over and over again, by many people. But there is also ample evidence, as we see in the life of Nikola Tesla, that the scientists who discovered and developed this energy and were working toward a free energy technology for the entire world were cheated and suppressed, if not murdered, or were driven into silence and put under such threat of mortal danger or worse, of death or worse, that they could not bring forth and offer their inventions to the world. But it is absolutely ridiculous and without reason to assume point blank that free energy technology is impossible and that it has never been developed. It is highly possible it has been developed. The horrible part of this story is that it appears to have been developed by some of the wickedest people on earth who are using it as a weapon against the rest of humanity. That is the bitter truth of 9/11. That is why 9/11 can never go away. It's the deal breaker for our species. And unless we face it and look at what happened at 9/11, unless we recognize that both narratives, the official government story and the thermite demolition story, are part of a psyops to destroy our minds and prevent us from seeing what really happened, how it was done. Unless we realize that, the future for humanity could be very grim. And yet, the doorway is open. You could say, in a sense, that 9/11 blew open the doorway. 9/11 proves the existence of free energy technology on this planet. Unfortunately, it demonstrates the use of it in a deceptive and murderous fashion. But it nevertheless proves that such technology exists. And just imagine what world we would be living in if we could claim that technology for peaceful and productive uses. So this is something you might think about as we're coming up to the anniversary of 9/11. And as you're thinking about it, I would ask you to cast your mind far afield from downtown Manhattan to another part of the world, which is the Westlands and the area of Somerset of England. And in that area, where there are many sacred sites that hark back to the pre-Christian and pagan inhabitants of that land, there are many fields of wheat and rape and barley. And the entire world knows that remarkable things happen in these fields, which are called crop circles. Now, it has been proven that some crop circles are human-made hoaxes, but the great majority of crop circles certainly cannot be explained away in that manner. And there is ample testimonial proof and very close study and investigation that proves that crop circles are real and that they are not, the great majority of crop circles are real and they could not possibly have been created by human beings with ropes and boards. So we're moving on here from the consideration of the destruction in Manhattan on 9/11, not only the two towers, but WTC 7, 6, and others, and the dozens of bizarre and anomalous effects that cannot possibly be explained by the thermite gang. We're moving on from that overview to another subject which may seem to be very remote. But actually it is not remote, and I'll tell you why. There is a very intimate connection between 9/11 and crop circles. Some time ago, a few months back, I was watching a documentary on crop circles. There are a number of very good ones. And in this documentary, it was pointed out that crop circles exhibit the presence of iron-rich spheres, microscopic iron-rich spheres, exactly like the iron-rich spheres that were detected in 9/11. Now, the controlled opposition would have you believe that these iron-rich spheres are the signature of thermite or thermate explosions, and that may well be the case, to the extent that thermite and thermate would produce these spheres. But they are not the only physical effects that would produce such spheres. No thermite or thermate is used in crop circles, as far as I know, and yet the presence of iron-rich spheres is evident and has been attested by close scientific study. Moreover, it is a scientific fact, to my understanding, that the molecular disintegration or dustification, as Dr. Wood calls it, of the massive steel and concrete structures of the Twin Towers is a physical event that also would produce, as a byproduct, minute iron-rich spheres. That is because when steel and concrete are reduced to dust, that is, they are pulverized to the molecular level, which can only be done by direct energy technology, the result is a massive effusion of iron-rich spheres. There's two other similarities that I would point out between the destruction at 9/11 and the creation of crop circles. First is that crop circles appear to be produced. Films have been made of crop circles being made with spheres rotating around and floating over the fields, and then the grain is laid down as these spheres move around. There was a sphere visible, by the way, in the sky above at the level of the top of the Twin Towers on that day in September. And many of you may remember seeing that in the live, so-called live footage. When the grain is laid down, when the wheat is laid down, it gives the impression that it has been pressed down as if it were by a template. And this same evidence of a template is found in the events of 9/11. For instance, the imprint of an airplane flying into a building left a template of the cut of the airplane, as if the building were subjected to a cookie cutter. Well, in fact, it's physically impossible. Any airplane flying into those buildings would not have left a cookie cutter imprint. It would have crushed like a soft drink can and crumbled to the pavement. The wings of an airplane full of fuel cannot make that kind of cutout in a building. And so, but directed energy can have such effects, as has been demonstrated by people who are experimenting with it, such as John Hutchinson. Thirdly, I would point out that many people who have engaged in a scientific study of the crop circles have detected what they call microwave effects in the presence of very, very high heat, a sudden blast of very, very high heat, which causes the stems to bend, causes the nodes of the stems to expand, but not break usually. Causes them to swell, and it causes the patterns of the wheat and the crops to be laid down in a perfect symmetrical fashion without doing harm to the plants. And this blast of heat and this so-called microwave effect is another known effect of free energy interference technology. So there are at least three similarities and probably others, and this is something that is worth investigating for those of you who haven't considered it so far. So let me just say this, having made that parallel between 9/11 and crop circles, let me just make this final remark about the phenomenon of crop circles before I make my invitation to the wizards. I've seen a number of good documentaries on crop circles. They're full of very sincere people who have all kinds of theories, one of which is, of course, that they are created by ETs. Why do they think that they are created by ETs? Well, it's very obvious in the case of genuine crop circles that will appear, say, in 20 minutes without any physical explanation of how, without anyone showing up on the scene with boards and ropes. It is quite clear in the hundreds of instances of genuine crop circles that if they are made with some kind of technology, it's not a technology that we know about. Or is it? I would ask you to consider revising that view. It may not be a technology that we don't know about. It may be a technology that we can't believe is in human hands. It may be a technology that we know is possible, but we have trouble believing could really exist because its existence is secret or unadmitted. Or, more pertinently, harking back to some things I said a little earlier in this presentation, more pertinently, the people who have that technology in their hands, the people who have, right now as I speak, the devices that could produce crop circles, or, if weaponized, create the destruction of 9/11. Those people, obviously, don't want to come out in the open. But for two very different reasons. The people who used DET, Directed Energy Technology, 9/11, don't want to come out in the open and show their hand because to a great extent, their power to hold the world hostage and to extort and blackmail other nations, including possibly the United States government, depends on them not being known. So obviously the perpetrators of 9/11 don't want anyone to know who they are, and they don't want anyone to even imagine or suspect that they have weaponized DET, free energy technology, in a lethal form. On the other hand, let's assume, and this is part of my invitation, part of my challenge, this little assumption, let's assume that those who are making the crop circles in England and elsewhere, using the same free energy technology, are benevolent. Let's assume that they are people who have developed this technology and could turn it over to the world if the conditions were right. Now, I'm assuming, I'm taking a big risk here, it is possible that the people who are making crop circles in England and elsewhere using free energy technology are the same as the people who did 9/11. That is possible. And if that were the case, that would be a very, very sad affair for the human race. But I'm gambling on other odds here, something like a gut intuition tells me that due to the beauty and the continuity of apparent messaging of genuine crop circles, that the people who hold the devices and technology that makes those circles possible might be trying to reach us. Now, one of the great failures in theorization about crop circles is that they have only been considered to be human-made when they're a hoax. But I propose to you that the genuine crop circles are human-made by people who have directed energy technology, by inventors or wizards, scientific wizards, who have this technology, but for reasons which ought to become obvious now, in the 10 years since 9/11, they cannot bring forth to general public disclosure. But perhaps they would like to. So this is at the point where I finish with the background, finish with the explanation leading up to this strange designation, crop circle wizards. Who are these crop circle wizards? They are the human inventors in our dimension, men and women, scientific wizards who have discovered in our time free energy physics and have applied it to make devices that allow them to construct these circles. Therefore, it is my proposition that crop circles are human-made, and the people who make them I call wizards. Now, I want you to just take a moment, if you've followed me so far, and put yourself into the skin of these wizards and consider the situation that they might be facing. For one thing, being unable to disclose who they are for risk of their lives, being unable to bring out in public the knowledge that they have or demonstrate publicly the devices that they have for reasons which you can well understand, they are forced to use the arcane method of crop circles to try to reach humanity. But at the same time, there's an absurdity that prevents them from actually reaching us. And that absurdity is in the human mind itself. So, unfortunately, the sincere people who have studied and investigated crop circles for decades resort to ridiculous metaphysical theories. They look beyond the earth and beyond humanity for the explanation of these formations, and they claim that some higher civilization or some advanced species is trying to communicate to us through crop circles by presenting all these beautiful designs which show a fantastically deep understanding of the natural world. The Mandelbrot set, the Julia set, many designs from sacred geometry. But I would point out to you that all those designs that are evident in the crop circles over the last 20, 25 years are known to humanity and have been known to the human race since time immemorial. So why do we need ETs and some advanced civilization to show us designs of the Fibonacci series? Fibonacci series is a discovery of human beings. We don't need ETs to rediscover it for us and shove it in our face. Doesn't make any sense. All theories of crop circles which look beyond a human origin go into absurdity and metaphysics, into speculation and conjecture. And the saddest part about all of that, apart from the fact that it's a completely illogical and unscientific, is that we are missing the message because we don't know who the messengers are. So it's one thing to speculate wildly and think, oh, all these beautiful designs, all these fantastic geometrical configurations, these mandalas, it must be some higher being, some angelic being, some higher civilization from outer space, or it may be the intelligence of Gaia herself trying to reach us, trying to tell us something. Trying to tell us what? What? There is no message to be understood in that manner. I propose that the message of the crop circles could be a desperate attempt of scientific geniuses, wizards, who possess right now, as I speak, directed and free energy technology for peaceful uses. And they want to tell us that they're there and that they have it. and they want us to admit that we know they have it. And this is the purpose of crop circle communication. Now, this may sound like a wild theory, but I'm also proposing, as I bring this talk to a conclusion, just how to test this theory. Test it by joining with me, all of you who hear this message, and follow my reasoning purely on an experimental basis. You don't have to believe everything I say. But if you can loosely accept my reasoning on an experimental basis, follow me and speak with me as I make this challenge. I speak to the crop circle wizards. I think I know who you are. I think you are men and women who are heirs to the true science of this planet that can transform this planet into a much better world and a freer and more humane place, and can take away the tools and weapons by which we are manipulated and deceived. I believe that you are truly wizards and that you have discovered the secret of the universe, which is free energy. You are not the first to have discovered it. It began with Michael Faraday. It was known in ancient times to the Egyptians. The pyramids were almost certainly free energy devices. It has been perhaps discovered and lost through many centuries. We could speculate on that for a long time. But the important thing right now, coming up to 10 years after 9/11, is to understand that you, the wizards, are there and that you possess this technology. And I'm going to take a chance, I'm going to take a big gamble and assume that you are not the same people who have the weaponized technology. Well, if you're not, and if you would like to see DET brought to the world for peaceful use, then give us a sign that I'm right. It's now the beginning of September 2011, and the highest moment of the crop circle season has arisen. The fall months of September and October can often be very rich in crop circle formations. I am counting on the fact that somewhere or somehow, through one channel or another, the crop circle wizards will hear this presentation I have made. And I speak to you in behalf of all humanity who want to see a peaceful and harmonious society over the entire earth. I speak for all people who wish that. Send us a message. Make a crop circle that shows that you know what free energy technology is. Make a crop circle that clearly and unambiguously refers in some way to Tesla or to Keeley or to some known aspect or formula or structure of free energy physics. And in that way, tell us that you are really there and confirm the fantastic truth, the fantastic positive truth that was unfortunately confirmed at 9/11 in a horrific and destructive manner. This technology exists. It is the birthright of the human species to have it and to build our world with it. I don't ask you to say who you are. I don't ask you to tell us where you are. I don't ask you to inscribe in the crops formations any message or clue that would put you in danger. But if you have indeed been trying to communicate with people who unfortunately have mistaken you for ETs rather than human beings, which you actually are, now is the moment on the anniversary of 9/11 to seal that communication and make it two-way and confirm who you are, and we can proceed from there. So that is my challenge to the crop circle wizards. A simple invitation to communicate. I am correct that the directed energy technology used at 9/11 is the same that is used to make crop circles, then someone has those devices, those inventions, right now as I speak. Someone in this world has them, but cannot release them to the world at large for reasons we understand and for reasons which can be changed, however. But the first step in changing this situation and bringing your gift, the gift of the wizards, into this world is to communicate with the world by responding directly and unequivocally to this challenge. Make us a crop circle that answers this challenge. And then we'll see if the event of 9/11 can really be the breakaway event into freedom and mutual aid for our species. If that was so, it would be the most wonderful event in human history, because we would have turned horror into harmony. I believe the human species is capable of great acts of magic, but I do not believe that free energy technology is magic. It's just the best kind of physics around, and we need it to live, and we need it to make this planet the place we want it to be. So that is my challenge. It goes out not only in my words, but with the intention and feeling of many, many people who will hear this presentation. And we all await your response.